We sing Spirit of Life, but I don't know what it means and can't express what it means. Well, that's not completely true. I do know what I mean when I sing Spirit of Life, but I can't express what I mean. It is, and I've mentioned this before, the central paradox of my life that I spend my professional life using words in sermons, in articles, teaching at universities, teaching classes here. Tuesday, doing a talk for Ollie down here. And if you're a certain age, come on by. I use words. And I know that words are incomplete in capturing and conveying the very most real and profound experiences of my life. Experiences of connection, of love, of what I see when I look into the eyes of my wife, my children, my grandchildren. What I feel at moments of intimacy, of ecstasy, of despair. All of those real experiences of love, of fear, of connection, of transcendence, of hope, all of them are absolutely real. They are felt, they are experienced, and when I try to capture them and convey them, I know from the get-go that I'm going to fall short. I can't just tell you what I feel in mere words. I might be able to use words to paint a picture, use words in the form of poetry to create an image or a musicality. You should see, as we discussed last Tuesday in talking about art, that's what art is for. Art is to try to capture and then convey not an idea, but an experience. And when an artist creates something, whether out of stone or gold or wood or clay, they're conveying something, and it will probably be as incomplete as my words. But it's just another channel that we turn on to try to connect ourselves to each other and to make articulate within ourselves the greatest experiences that we have of love, of fear, of connection, of alienation, of transcendence. Those are all real experiences. When I'm talking or singing about the spirit of life, I go back to this kind of ineffable sense of wonder at why I can't reach in and pluck my experience and just show it to you. But I've spent a career trying and a career failing, and I'm content with that because experiences as life itself, they're too rich and complicated and personal to be just crafted and handed over. I know that many artists will paint something or write something or sculpt something and have some intent in mind of what they want to convey, and then the audience, the viewer, comes into the concert hall, the church, the synagogue, the ashram, the gallery, the museum, and gets a completely different story. And that's why we have, as famously remarked in the movies, often a failure to communicate, because it's so wondrous. When I'm singing of the spirit of life, I do know what I mean. And I can't tell you, not because you wouldn't understand, you do understand, but you understand through your own eyes, your own experience, your own vocabulary, your own heart. When I do kind of that easy thing that you do when you're constructing a talk like this and look at what does the word mean spirit. And I look at how it's been changed, particularly in the Catholic Church, where it used to be a Holy Ghost, and now it's a Holy Spirit. One's a Latin word, spiritu, and the other is a German word, Geist. They mean the same thing. But when we say ghost in English, most of the people in this room are thinking of Casper, the friendly ghost. And you're seeing people in sheets who are not members of the KKK, but maybe just as scary or, KKK is scarier. But when we say spirit, it gets us closer in our everyday language, in our everyday sensitivities, to that ineffable and invisible thing that is life. One of the many reasons that some people believe that I have a perverse relationship to biblical scripture is that, first of all, I read it. And that also, I have to tell you, John, puts me a little bit apart in a lot of Unitarian circles. And I translated parts of it. And my very favorite, most nourishing part, okay, aside from Psalms, is Ecclesiastes, which most people look at as if it were the most nihilistic, even atheistic book that is just filled with existential despair. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is but vanity. And we clearly understand it's not vanity as in I'm looking good today. It's nothing is worth anything. It's just we live, we're going to die. What's the point? And I can understand, if that's your reading of it, why it would not be the most elevating and uplifting thing to your own spirit. But that's not what it says in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it says, and it's onomatopoetic, it says, Havel Havalim, Havel Havalim, Amar Koheleth, Hakol Havel. It's breath of breaths, spirit of spirit, everything, everything, Hakol Havel, everything is but a breath. And that's spirit. We are inspired. When we come to the end of our lives, we expire. We go to places of sacred space and we see church spires lifting us up. Spirit is to be filled with a sense of life. And what is breath? It's central to most religious practices. It's kind of central to life. You know, the instructions for life, inhale, exhale, repeat as needed. But if you do it too much like any other drug, you could get lightheaded and pass out. But it's breath. It's about taking in life. And that's what we do. And it's invisible. It's not really, you can measure volume, and I suppose you could figure out some little nano weight that a breath would have. But it's not that it is vain and unimportant. It is the animating principle, taking in that breath, taking in that life, and then deciding to use this breath, this life, this time well. That's spirit. I know people talk about, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. What they usually mean by that is that they're not part of an organized religion, and you can feel perfectly safe here because we're barely organized. But we do come together to breathe together, to take in spirits together, to try to find with each other how to use this life force and use it well. So yeah, I'm both religious and I'm spiritual, because religious is not about doctrine. It's not about memorizing the rules. Religion is about caring and using well this precious time, this precious breath. Now, when I'm listening to radio, and I try only to listen to NPR and KUSC, but when I accidentally hit that AM dial, and when I'm driving up to Northern California to visit two precious grandchildren, and yes, my son, I listen to all of the radio preachers, and I really enjoy it because I can tell their denomination by their accent and how they pronounce the name God. The more syllables, the more fundamentalistic they are. So, you know, if you really believe in God, you can draw it on for a really long time. That's the depth and level of their commitment to religion. But I listen to this, and it's clear that half the people, when they're calling in, they don't know the difference between spirituality and spiritualism. Spiritualism, I'll go into more detail closer to Halloween, is ghosts and goblins. It's channeling spirits that are long dead. It's talking to the dead and having the dead talk back to you. That's spiritualism. It has very little to do with spirituality. Now, I have to tell you that I do practice spiritualism also. I talk to the dead. I don't know that they listen, but I talk to them all the time. The dead occasionally talk to me, and I'm not always so good at listening. But seriously. I mean, I talk to my mom. I fill her in on how the kids and the grandkids are doing. I occasionally will have my dad, long gone, say, "That a boy," for some accomplishment. I talk to my late former wife fairly frequently since we spent our Peace Corps years in Tunisia. I'm trying to keep her up to date on what's going on in Tunisia, even though that she has been gone for 8 years. But I think about her, and I hear her voice, and I am from time to time thinking, what is that word in Arabic? Barbara would know. I'm still connected to all of the ghosts who have loved me. And I don't take it literally, not a bit. And I'm not scared when I hear my mother's voice telling me not to rock back in the chair or not to run because I'll put my eye out, because I don't listen any more now than I did when she was alive. I got to tell you one mom story. So I walk into my mother's apartment some many years ago, and she says, "Honey, you've put on weight." And I said, "I didn't notice." Then I sit down to the table, and she says, "I went to two markets to get pears and to get apples. I take a pear." She said, "You don't like the apple? You couldn't eat both of them, maybe?" I said, "Ma, you were just talking about, no, this year, when you're here, you can eat." So I still talk and argue with Mom. And that's fine. That's kind of spiritualism. I don't believe in it, but I practice it. Just as I don't believe in looking in the mirror and seeing the highway patrol guy in the back and going, "Don't turn on the red light." I don't believe that that's an effective way of not getting a ticket, but in an abundance of caution, I talk to the mirror. In the same way that while I'm watching television and a politician is speaking and I'm screaming, "Stop lying!" I don't have any reasonable expectation that it's going to go through the television, get to the politician, and the politician will stop lying, but it makes me feel better. And is that so terrible, really? It's kind of a way of getting rid of that energy and hostility. So, yeah, spiritualism, it's okay as long as you don't take it too seriously or literally. Which brings me to spirituality. And Tom asking in the beginning, "Am I going to tell you what spirituality is?" And I said, "Not at these prices. Let's take up the collection. I'll see what happens afterwards. And if it's good enough, I'll give you a hint." Now, to me, spirituality is how we set the table to have the experiences. For me, setting the table, as we talked about on Tuesday night, is usually with music and art. It's understanding that when Bach was trying to communicate, if he could have just said, "You know, this is what I mean," he wouldn't have had to sit down and write the B minor mass. If Michelangelo could have said the Pietà, it would have saved him an awful lot of chipping away at stone and getting pneumosilicosis. Art is an attempt to convey those ineffable experiences. And rites of spring, both for music and dance, conveying something. That's what setting the table for spirituality is for me. It's setting up those conditions where I know that I can connect with others, be lost in the infinity of the universe, be alone with myself at a level that is different from everyday walking, thinking, writing, that alpha state where you are inside yourself somewhere and some wonderful, ineffable thing is happening. A Zen master can't just tell the student, this is what Satori is, and do these three things, and you're going to be enlightened. You set up experiences that will help guide the student to having those experiences that the student will not be able to really talk about either, but might be able to pass on to another student, another generation, some of those things that were helpful. Walking meditation, sitting meditation, listening to music, all of the various ways that we alpha ourselves out in order to be open to experiences that are real, that are profound, and that are ultimately ineffable, but that we have to try to convey to each other anyway. Poets have been trying to convey love since the beginning of time, and it all falls short of the experience, but we keep trying to stammer it. A theater critic once said of Eugene O'Neill, whose dialogue was famously difficult for actors to say, that he stammers miracles. That's what we do. We stammer. We stammer our sense of connection to the great mystery of life, to the great mystery that there is something when there doesn't have to be something, that in a universe whose size is beyond human imagination, where our world floats like a dust mote in the void of night, one little dust mote at the edge of an indifferent galaxy contains life as we know it. And one sub-dust mote of that is each of us, containing life, containing thought, containing choice, and wonder, and fear, and love. I will show you fear in a handful of dust. I will show you love in a handful of dust. We are here today, filled with spirit and life, drinking deeply of the wonders, and sometimes we're too busy to just sit still for a moment and utter a quiet yes, a quiet wow, a wow that will make us take in a full dose of life and take our breath away with wonder and with love. For me, this is spirit and spirituality, of which I stammer, and of which I am so deeply, when I stop for a moment, appreciative of and have such a sense of wonder at this precious mystery we share.